The scripture reading will be Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. It was absolutely beautiful tonight. Tyler, you did an outstanding job leading us tonight. Envy has been defined as a desire to have what another person has. But it's not just wanting the same kind of thing that someone else possesses. It's more than that. Envy is a desire to strip what another person possesses in order that you alone may possess it. Remember the story of that cheerleader down in Texas? The mother of another girl was so envious at the position that her daughter was not able to attain that she put out a contract for murder on the life of a girl just to ensure the popularity of her own daughter. That's envy. To take away something that another one has in order that you alone may possess that, even going as far as taking a human life. You know, it's amazing how frequently envy is linked with murder. In Scripture, we see that link again and again. Envy is a sin that recurs all too frequently in the stories of the Bible. It is because of envy that the first murder on this planet took place. Cain's envy of his brother Abel. It was out of envy that Saul attempted on numerous occasions to kill David. It was out of envy that King Ahab eventually took the life of Naboth so that he could have his vineyard. There's a story that's told in Jewish folklore about a man who was visited by an angel. And the angel told him, "I'll give you one request. Anything you want will be given to you. The only catch is that your sworn enemy will receive a double portion of whatever you get." And this man was so envious of that enemy that he thought for a moment and he says, "I wish to be blind in one eye." That's what envy does. It will damage yourself in order to hurt another person. Shane read for us the passage in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. We use that expression, someone who is green with envy. Envy gets inside a person, and it does rot from the inside out. Envy makes us long for the greener grass on the other side of the fence. But if we could really get a complete picture of what other people had that sometimes looks so good, we would probably thank God for what we have on our own side of the fence. How many foolish people there are that envy the lifestyles of the rich and the famous without ever considering how miserable many of them really are. In Proverbs 23 and verse 17, the wise man says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners." Don't do that. Don't look at people who are living a lifestyle that you really wouldn't want to live, and they have problems that you don't really want to own. Don't look at the glitter and the gold and envy sinners. In Proverbs 24:1, the writer of Proverbs says, "Do not envy wicked men. Do not desire their company." You know, we think it would be great if we could run in those circles and if we could name drop about the folks that we were with and that we spent time with. He says, don't even desire their company. Don't envy what those people have. Remember that old poem? I learned it when I was in high school about Richard Corey. "Whenever Richard Corey went downtown, we people on the pavement looked at him. He was a gentleman from sole to crown, clean, favored, and imperially slim. And he was rich, yes, richer than a king, and admirably schooled in every grace. In fine, we thought that he was everything to make us wish we were in his place. So on we worked and waited for the light, and went without the meat and cursed the bread. And Richard Corey, one calm summer night, went home and put a bullet in his head." You know, the people we envy may not be as happy as we think they are. All that looks so great may not be so great in reality. How many times have we seen people destroyed by the very traits we covet? People that are so physically attractive, but it's too attractive for their own good, and it results in their downfall. People that are so talented that they can just get by without ever learning discipline and perseverance that they will so desperately need later in life. People that are destroyed by the riches that others so desire. You know, envy is a terrible sin for what it does to those who do the envying, but it's a two-sided coin. Envy can destroy people in two ways. It can be just as bad when we attempt to make others envious of us. Now, this is a more subtle form of envy, and I think that this form of envy is just as prevalent among Christian people. Much of the advertising on television today plays to this desire to make other people envious of us. If you drive our car or if you wear our clothes, your friends will envy you. They'll want to be like you. They're blatant about it in advertising. This thing of doing this or doing that or owning this or owning that, just in order to make all your friends and family envious of what you have and who you've become. It's what the marketplace calls conspicuous consumption. It's this desire to keep up with the Joneses and make our neighbors wish that they could keep up with us. You know, even as Christians, we can nurse that desire to make other people envious of our situations. We can brag about our situations in life or about our jobs or careers or marriages or children. We can exaggerate our accomplishments or our children's accomplishments in an effort to make others envy us, when in reality it usually results in nothing more than creating irritation and resentment from those around us that we're trying so desperately to impress. You know, envy is terrible because it robs us of the blessings and the joys that we possess. There's an old Indian tale that's told about an eagle that was jealous of another eagle who could fly higher than he could. And so that eagle went down and pointed out to the hunter where this eagle was flying. And the hunter fired his arrow up, but the eagle was too high for him. And he says, "I need a better arrow. I need better feathers to be able to shoot and bring down that eagle that flies so high." And so that envious eagle took feathers out of his own wings to give to the hunter to enable him to shoot the arrow higher. But it still wasn't enough, and so he continued the process until that eagle had lost enough feathers that he could no longer fly, and then the hunter turned his arrow on him, and he was destroyed by his own envy. You know, the elder brother in the story of the prodigal was so envious of that brother who had squandered the fortune, the family fortune, and had come home, and now there was a party, there was a celebration, and out of envy, he missed out on the love of his own father. He didn't feel loved by the father. He thought the father had rejected him. He didn't get to participate in the joy of the occasion because of envy. He was robbed of all the good that he could have had because of that spirit of envy. God does not want us to be robbed of the good things that he's given us, the good things that we possess. And that's why he's encouraged us to rejoice with those who rejoice. Don't be a begrudger. If something good happens to someone in your family or in your spiritual family or in your circle of friends, rejoice with them. Be glad for them for the good things that happen. There are three things that will absolutely overcome envy. Three things that are an antidote for envy. And the first one is perspective. The story is told of an Asian man who visited America, and he was invited into the home of one of the richest collectors of Chinese art. And as he went through that man's home, he marveled at all the wonderful things. But the greatest possession of all was a jade figure that was kept there in that home, and he took him back into his inner sanctum of his collection, and he opened the vault and took out this beautiful jade carving from the Ming Dynasty. And whenever he saw that, that Asian visitor said, "Thank you for keeping this for me. I'm indebted to you for all you've done to make it possible for me to enjoy this work of art." The American was intrigued at that response, and he said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" And he said, "Is it not true that the beauty of this art piece is just as available for me to enjoy as it is for you? All you've done has been the steward of it." And he said, "If I came back at another time, wouldn't you still take me back and let me see it and let me gaze on it and enjoy it?" And the collector said, "Yes, I would." And he says, then I can enjoy it just as much as you can. You know, when we look at people who possess great things and own things that we're envious of, we don't have to own those things to enjoy them. I don't have to be a great landowner to enjoy the beauty of this world. I can walk out here in the Mark Twain Forest and enjoy all that God has created. I don't have to own it. I can hike on nature trails through the Ozarks and enjoy the beauties of this world, and go to Colorado. I can go to the beautiful national parks in our nation and enjoy all of this without having to own one single acre of it. It all ultimately belongs to God. It's a matter of perspective. Those who own title to anything in this world only do so temporarily. "The gold is mine, the silver is mine," says God. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hillsides. So when tempted to envy, I need to keep things in proper perspective. So for perspective will take away envy. A second thing that will take away envy is the spirit of gratitude. Envy can absolutely eat up a person alive, but peace comes through this attitude of gratitude. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul said, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace." And be thankful. You want peace? You want to get over a begrudging spirit, an envious spirit? Then be thankful to God for the things that you have. Thank God daily. We sing the song, "Count Your Many Blessings." I doubt that many of us really ever do that. Thank God daily for all that you possess. Make a list and thank Him for these things. Thank Him for your home. Thank Him for your bed. Thank Him for your thermostat. Thank Him for the hot water heater in your home and the electricity in your car. Thank Him for your friends. Have you ever thanked God for your friends by name and tell God why you're grateful for each one of these friends, for the things they do for you and how they bless your life? Have you ever stopped to thank God for the spiritual blessings that you enjoy in Christ and begin to name all the wonderful things you enjoy because you know Jesus Christ? Being thankful to God will eradicate the spirit of envy from our lives. Just consider how many throughout history have never enjoyed the things you currently enjoy. Think of how many today in this world do not enjoy the blessings that you currently enjoy in your life. No thankfulness will destroy that spirit of envy. And then thirdly, there's perspective, there's gratitude, and then there is love. Love covers a multitude. You cannot envy anyone that you truly love. If one of my children is successful, if one of my children does well, if one of my children has a tremendous blessing in their life, I'm not going to begrudge that. I'm going to rejoice with them because I love them and I want to see good things happen to them. It's a cause of rejoicing. No, it's a lack of love that causes me to want what another person possesses and makes me want them to be deprived of whatever blessing has come their way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul wrote there in that love chapter, "Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy." Love will drive envy out of a person's heart. So if you find yourself envying someone for what they possess, for what they have, try replacing those feelings of envy with acts of love. You know, one day we will all stand before the throne of God, anything we've ever owned or anything we've ever accomplished will all be history. It will all be ash and dust. And we'll stand before God as Christians who have been forgiven, who have been given an eternal home in heaven, and will be with a vast crowd of the saved. And on that day, there'll be nothing anyone else has to envy, because we'll all be in the same boat. We'll all be in the same position. We will all be sinners saved by grace. As Christians, we have nothing to envy. We have no one to envy. We will stand there and we will be given the greatest blessings that are imaginable. We'll be given a home in eternity, and we'll be grateful forever for what we have. I hope we can cultivate this spirit in the present day, that we can learn to love others and rejoice with them, that we can learn to be grateful for what we have and count our blessings. I hope that we can keep things in perspective and understand what we really have. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation of God, we are given that privilege again tonight. We prayed this morning for our dear sister Jerry Hartwigson, and she came and asked for prayers, and we'll pray for you tonight. If there's a burden on your heart that you don't want to carry, we'll gladly pray for you, and it's amazing what prayer does in lifting burdens. If tonight you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ, we'll gladly assist you as you obey the gospel. If you need to come, won't you come as we stand and as we sing.